We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Alexander. McCollum staying with him. Spins, gets inside. Left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot. Backdoor. What a pass. What a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't Dort. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested Podcast, coming to you live Sunday, March 31st, as the Thunder escape Madison Square Garden with a 113-112 win over the New York Knicks in a game that should not have given me this much anxiety on Easter Sunday. But folks, here we are. I might smoke a cigarette live on the show. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. With me tonight, I got my guy, Nick Crane.
What it do?
And we've got Taylor Peterson.
Giddy, 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 giddy. Triple double, triple double, triple double.
Beautiful.
There you go. People got what they wanted.
I love it. We are brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the fine folks over at Social Order. They are the ones that are running Dave's Hot Chicken and Spark OKC. Speaking of Dave's Hot Chicken, we are now on the clock, folks. It is game week. We are 5 days away from the Uncontested's official watch party at Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown, Oklahoma City. Come out Friday night, April 5th, as the Thunder take on the Indiana Pacers at 6 p.m. We will be hanging out at Dave's Hot Chicken, eating great food, hanging out with all of you guys. We may have some food specials, may have some giveaways. We got some little prizes, some little party favors, I guess you could say. I don't know.
Oh, man. So, watch party getting crazy.
Some cool little things. We got some stickers to give away. We may give away some other prizes as well. And we're just going to take over Dave's. We're going to take over Bricktown. We're going to watch the Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers, get revenge. We're going to eat some absolutely wonderful food. And we're going to live pod afterwards. So please make your plans. Come hang out with us Friday night, April 5th, 6 p.m. at Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown. What else was I going to say? Thank you for tuning in the live stream. There's already a ton of people here. If you're watching the live stream, hit the like button on YouTube. That'd mean a lot. If you're watching the YouTube video later on in the week, still hit the like button. And for all my podcast folks out there who download the show on their podcast app, like me, spoiler alert, I'm not a big like YouTube podcast guy. I don't watch the shows on YouTube. I just listen to them on the podcast app. So if you are like me and you do that, please make sure you drop the 5-star rating on the show. The comments are pouring in. Keep them coming. Unless you're bullying me with bald jokes, then stop them immediately. Already, Nick, in the chat, we got a super. Will you bring that one up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go.
El Sombra Reggio 7. My key moment of the game was actually Gordon's three and quick transition dunk. He scored points during the gaps. The Knicks were on high runs.
Ooh, I love that. Because I did not have that in my notes. And I think that's a fantastic point. Gordon was critical there in that third.
Someone found something that wasn't in your 18 pages of notes for this.
I know.
Monday Night Pod. No, it's a good point. I think that's something that we should consider, like, more broadly is, and we're guilty of this too, like looking at box scores, like, oh, this guy was 2 of 5 from three. And Casein Wallace is a great example of this too, where tonight, I think he was 2 of 3 from the floor. But like the two shots he made were in big moments as well. And so that's the reason you can't box score watch, is because there's a lot more to the shots that went in or didn't go in than the box score can present to you.
Totally agree. A good week for Gordon Hayward, I'd say.
Huh, that's weird coming out of your mouth.
Why do you say that?
I think it was a week ago that you said you were completely out on Gordon Hayward.
Hey, things change.
I am back in.
Speaking of being out on things, before we dive in,
oh dear,
talking about this post game, we got to put Taylor on the spot, Nick. Taylor, who knighted himself, quote, the giddy hater of the podcast.
Technically, I was knighted that by others.
Hey, Taylor, the apology needs to be as loud as the disrespect, my man. Let's hear it.
I got to be very thorough there so I don't have another spit take live on the podcast. My dearest Joshua Giddy, I hope this letter finds you well. I am writing to apologize for my recent actions, including poo-pooing you on the podcast over the majority of the first 50 games or so of the season. I deeply regret my actions and understand the impact that they may have had on you. And as a fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder and a supporter of your career, I realize that my behavior was not in line with the respect and admiration I have for you as a player and as a person. Please note that this incident does not reflect my true feelings or intentions. I'm committed to learning from this experience and ensuring that does not happen again in the future. Once again, I apologize for any inconvenience or discomfort my actions may have caused you or your career. Thank you for your understanding. Sincerely, co-host of the Uncontested Podcast, Taylor Peterson. Yeah, obviously that was created by ChatGPT. However, it was sent to me by our good friend, Carrie. I think the biggest thing I want to talk about is just
the most awesome insincere. You just read an apology letter and then you said, I didn't mean any of it.
Yeah,
What the hell?
I had to do something funny. I couldn't just come up here and be like, here's all Josh's stats recently. He's been so great, which is what
you do have those probably.
Correct, which is why Nick came in the clutch at the last minute before we jumped on the podcast and sent me what I was calculating. Josh has been awesome, especially since Shay's been out. I understand it's only been a couple of games, but the entire month of March, looking at Giddy, 16.3 points, he is shooting 57% from the floor, 41% from three, which is just absolutely insane. Obviously, we know what he's doing on he's 7 rebounds. He's even getting steals. He had 2 steals, I believe, tonight, 2 blocks. Just absolutely fantastic from Josh in the month of March. But I think that kind of came to a head here over this past week. Like I mentioned, no Shay, and Josh just seemed to find a whole new level. In his last 5 games, he's averaging 22.8 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, 7.4 assists per game. But I had to do this quickly right before the podcast. Hopefully it's accurate, but it's very close. In his last 5, he's averaging 57% from the floor. Obviously, we know the stats. Everybody saw the stat from tonight that he's one of like 3 players to ever have 3 triple-doubles in 3 games at Madison Square Garden. Loves playing in the Garden. But the biggest thing for me is something we've talked so much about with Josh throughout the majority of the season, it's just his confidence. And that, I think, really stood out to me there in that fourth quarter. Obviously, Dub was cooking. We're going to talk a lot about J-Dub. But Giddy driving to the rim like that, finishing around the rim through contact, hitting his floaters. I saw this stat earlier this week, and I wish I would have saved it, but just the increase in his percentages from in the mid-range and around the rim, it's just so much better. The confidence is just back. Obviously, there's some off-court things that probably could have affected that earlier in the season, but ultimately, it's just him finding his foot again. And the biggest thing for me, I think, after this past week was seeing how that was going to look when Shay was back on the floor. Obviously, Shay was not 100% tonight, but to see Josh be able to take over and kind of take that lead there alongside Dub, just incredibly exciting. And I really liked what we saw from Josh in the first half when he wasn't scoring even. I thought that's kind of what we can, once he's healthy again, and impact to have, you know. So So that's my true apology, and just showing my excitement for how Josh has been playing recently down the stretch.
Yeah, it's I think it boils down to confidence, right? Like, there's a lot of things that go into the confidence of a player, and that's a real thing in all sports. Like, there's like we've seen elite athletes have mental blocks. Like Andrew Luck, one of the greatest quarterbacks of our lifetime, who cut his career short, like couldn't throw a football. He's a quarterback because he had a mental block. Like, the mental side of the game and the confidence side of the game is like never talked about enough or treated with enough sincerity as it should. And it just goes to show, like, when you get a little bit of confidence, you can run with it. Like, all of a sudden the floater that he hit for 2 years before this season is falling. Obviously the three is an anomaly. Like, no one expects it to continue dropping at a 50%+ clip. But when you're starting to hit shots and like the spin move and the finishes, like that's Josh's game. That's what we've seen for 2 years. And it to me, like there's 15 factors that go into his performance, but it all boils down to those 15 factors impacting his confidence.
Yeah. He had a quote after the Phoenix game the other night where he basically said that a couple months ago, the night before a game where he knew the other team would put a big on him, he'd stay up all night. Like, it made him anxious. It stressed him out. And I'm paraphrasing here. I don't know what the exact quote was, and I'm paraphrasing to make it sound cooler. But he said something like, now I can't wait, because if you put a big on me, I'm going to bust your ass. And I freaking love it. And
direct tonight, quote there.
Direct quote. He had, I mean, in the fourth quarter, he hit two plays in a row, like just this disgusting, like just driving hard to the rim, put his shoulder in DiVincenzo and hit that spin move layup. It's just beautiful stuff. So we've talked a lot of Giddey. Let's get a little deeper into this crazy 113-112 Knicks game. Since it is the Knicks game, Nick has to kind of lead us off here. What's your big takeaway, the headline of the game, Nick?
I'll start us off gloomy because I know you guys will pick us back up here. There's a lot of games that you win that you shouldn't, that you're like, you know, you'll take the win. It's all right. This is one of those games where it just felt gross. Like, it's a W in the win column. That's literally all that matters, whether it's a game you shouldn't have won or a game you won by 40. I think my takeaway is the lack of attention to detail and the lack of assertiveness will cost them tremendously in the future if they keep playing like that on the stretch. Like, I'm not just talking like the missed free throws. There was so many opportunities to put the game away by simply securing a rebound and just getting bumped off your spot, or the rebound's in your hand and someone hits you from behind softly and it goes out of bounds off of you. Oh, it's a foul. This is physical basketball. We've seen the game change the way it's officiated since the All-Star break. Oklahoma City, I think, although they've won a lot of games since then, have struggled with that change. We talk about offensively, but like overall with just the physicality of the game, my takeaway is that can't continue in the playoffs, and something's got to change on that front, irrespective of the outcome tonight.
I think that's totally fair. I think this team can play physical. I think tonight was one of those nights where, play devil's advocate here real quick, Nick. A lot of the little attention to detail things, you're right. It was a slog. I think the only part of the game that wasn't a slog was the first 4 to 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. So they really, really found a rhythm. The rest of the game was like watching people play basketball like in a mud field during a rainstorm. Like, it was just disgusting. Like, it was a slog. A lot of things didn't go right, yet they still found a way to win the game, I think is like the silver lining, glass half full thing to look at here. The free throws were atrocious. When you box score watch and you see the rebounds don't seem bad, but it was the timing of the bad rebounding that really got to them. Free throws stick out to me heavy in this one. If you shoot anywhere close to your season average on, sorry, I said rebounds, free throws. If you shoot anywhere close to your average season average on free throws, you're not worrying about Shea hitting a bucket at the end of the game and then stopping Brunson from hitting a bucket. This game is done with 3 minutes to go because Correct. They're up 8 or 9 points.
Agreed. Quick question before you go, Taylor.
Yeah.
For both of you, do you feel of late, and I'm not saying this to say that the team has like taken their foot off the gas, because they certainly have not, but do you feel there has been a bit of a drop off, whether it's because of the grind of the season is affecting them, or thinking about the playoffs, like whatever the reasoning is, do you feel that recently this team has not been as crisp as it was all season long to get them to this point?
I would say yes.
I say 110%.
And I also wonder if you ask 29 other fan bases, I don't think all 29 say yes, but I think that's probably a good majority. A theme
yeah.
for everybody.
Mavs fans are not saying yes. Rockets fans are not saying yes, but just about everybody else is. Yeah. It's a grind at this time of the season. I've been thinking about that, Nick, that very same question, because I see a lot of Thunder fans saying, well, this team's so young, they're supposed to have fresh legs, and you know they should be running around these older teams who are going through this slog of March, if you want to call it that. But ultimately, this is Chet's first season doing this. Dub and Shea, this is kind of their second time, but really their first time in playoff meaningful basketball down the stretch in March that they're going through this. It takes a toll on the body. We obviously are seeing that with Shea, and we'll get into Shea as well. But I definitely don't think they're playing their best basketball, which maybe is exciting to your point that they've been able to respond in that way. Keep saying that this team is just so great at responding to adversity. And that's what we saw yet again tonight. And I actually, my first takeaway, just because I know we're going to talk about the low-hanging fruit and the guys that performed so well tonight, but it kind of piggybacks off what you were mentioning, Nick. Obviously, and Jacob also mentioned this, the Thunder shot 44% from three ultimately, which ended up being pretty solid. a lot of that was inflated towards the end of the game in that second half. Shot obviously – oh, wait, no, sorry. I'm looking at the Pelicans box score. I was going to say, that doesn't sound right because I was doing Josh Giddey calculations. Okay, Thunder Knicks, we are back. Sorry. Quick aside. 38.2% from three, which makes a lot more sense than what I was expecting. Only 50% from the free throw line, 12 of 24. And so I pulled up the season averages for the Thunder and Wins. They're shooting 41% from the four and Wins from three. And free throw percentages is 83.3%. So there's two ways you can take that. Obviously, the Thunder are not shooting at that clip, both from the free throw line and three-point percentages here during this stretch of March. They also were able to win an incredibly close game against a great, great basketball team with a, I would say, an MVP candidate in Jalen Brunson while shooting subpar from those season averages when they're winning basketball games. And I just think that's, again, shows the resiliency of this basketball team.
I just realized Miles McBride played 46 of 48 minutes tonight.
Oh my gosh, I did not know that.
That is a
Tibbs.
Tibbs. Thing to do. Is that a Bucks remix with Tibbs?
It's me trying to like mimic Tibbs and his voice, and I can't do it.
Go smoke a carton and come back, and you'll probably get it just fine.
Be right back.
We've talked a lot about Josh Giddey. The two heavy lifters for tonight for the Thunder by far. Were Josh Giddey, and then J-Dub just had an absolutely absurd game. If he makes his free throws, it's like even more absurd. He's only 4 of 8 from the free throw line, 1 of 4 from three, but still ended up 14 of 18 from the field, 33-4, 8 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Nick, I don't know about you. Dub was the best player on the court tonight for either team. I don't think you could argue anything else.
I think you could argue Brunson, because the Brunson minutes were like a plus 18 and the non-Brunson were like a minus 13 for the Knicks. But I would say, like, for the Thunder, absolutely, which is crazy to say with an MVP candidate on the same team. Especially given he did it late. He had 10 points in the fourth quarter. Super efficient, like hits huge shots. I don't know. J-Dub is the kind of guy that I think a lot of the league still hasn't seen play, or a lot of the fan base around the league still hasn't seen play. C- couple national TV games coming up. So if you are listening to this pod and you don't watch the Thunder regularly, please watch one of these upcoming national TV games, because he is legitimately the type of player who would be the building block face of the franchise in like Washington, without a doubt.
Definitely. Tonight was just a special night from J-Dub. He really played incredible. I thought a couple guys who were kind of a little under the radar tonight, they didn't get the shine that Dub or Giddy or even Shea to an extent got, but were instrumental in the win. Jay Will and Kenrich Williams.
They were both huge, especially on another game. I understand Chet had a good game, a decent game against the Suns, but it's kind of struggled as of late. Similar to Shea, although for different reasons. Thought Jay Will was just critical there in that second half, especially in the fourth quarter. I understand he had plenty of mistakes, especially there during that final stretch where he was missing rebounds. He was subbed in when I'm going blank, Brunson was shooting free throws and missed a critical offensive rebound. He wasn't perfect by any means, but his impact was so much greater than Chet tonight. And he was a large reason that I thought the Thunder were able to go on that run the fourth quarter where Dub and Josh were able to kind of take over there. Obviously, Kenrich as well. Not a great huge box score by any means, but just continues to be impactful. Seems like
never is for what fitting. It's worth.
Yeah, right.
7-2 typical and 1, but 3-4 from the field. I thought just did a ton of little things to help this team win tonight.
Yeah, Kenrich is a guy that we were pretty critical of the first 4 months of the season, and he's been really good of late. Like he's last couple weeks, like
right when you need him to be.
I don't even know if I could tell you that if you looked at his box scores, it looks any different, because it may not. But it just feels like in the right moment, it's kind of the theme of this pod, is like the right play at the right moment, like in the biggest situation. It seems like Kenny just keeps doing it when it matters. Tonight was the block on one end, the three on the other, that just like swung the game 5 points and was much needed.
Definitely. I'd also add Queso in there as well. It just, the only reason I do is because I think the play that really stands out to me, the sequence of plays that really stick out to me is there to start the fourth quarter. Dub got just another ridiculous tough jumper. I can't even remember who the defender was. It might have been DiVincenzo, and he just drilled it over him. Queso gets a three-point shot. Dub gets a steal and saves it. Giddy saves it out of bounds. Dub finds Kenrich for the fast break basket to start the fourth. Three-point game, cut it to three. And the rest was kind of history there, not a stretch. Those guys stepped up huge. And honestly, that's kind of why I thought Shea's not healthy. Maybe it's a good time to transition into Shea. I would rather see some of those guys close the game rather than Shea. And then, of course, I tweet that and Shea hits the game winner.
Yeah, like when you look at the other three starters, Chet, Shea, and Dort combined nine of 29.
Dort got a shit whistle tonight. Like, that was just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
that was
pretty bad. What?
Got his what?
Got a shit whistle tonight.
Oh, I also heard it as got his shit whistled tonight.
Yes, I was like, what is that?
No. Got a.
Well, he shot all five of his attempts from beyond the arc. So offensively, I don't know if a whistle had any impact on that.
For sure.
Agreed on the defensive
end. He, Chet, and Shea were 10 of 29 from the field. Like, that's not really typical. Chet's really been a roller coaster recently, like really bad against the Rockets. I thought really good against the Suns, really bad here against the Knicks. So if the theme continues, he's going to ball out Tuesday night against the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll see. But to have those guys have such a bad night and still come away with a win, like, that's just the luxury this team has with the insane amount of depth. Do you guys know who led the Thunder in plus minus tonight?
Josh Giddey.
Probably the man who saved basketball.
The man who saved basketball himself. Oh. Aaron Wiggins was a plus 13 tonight.
And made mistakes, Josh. I'll say. Like, he's a guy that was not perfect, but was still awesome.
Yeah, Josh was a plus 11. Aaron Wiggins was on the floor for a big chunk of that fourth quarter run, which is, I think, where a lot of that plus comes from. Yeah. But he was awesome.
Wiggins had 13 minutes to Hayward's 11. And I think that's probably fair moving forward. I even would like to see a little more Wiggins selfishly, but that
11
was
11 guys in the rotation tonight. I could see them playing those 11 guys in the playoffs like every night.
The only two that didn't play are the two that were the centers the team was or that the fan base was calling for. I think the other thing to pile onto Jacob's comment around the luxury of winning a game when some of your best players are not at their peak is that the two players that were not at their peak and Shea and Chet did not check into the game until like 4 minutes and change or 5 minutes and change left in this game.
Mm-hmm. It was four.
That's like half because they were not great and half because Mark trusts his dudes top to bottom. And if you're playing well, he's going to play you. That doesn't matter if you're Aaron Wiggins playing over an MVP candidate, for example, and Shea. For like it's the philosophy that's gotten them there, playing unorthodox, going against the norm. I think that's going to continue the playoffs again, like Jacob said.
Speaking of that, Nick, let me ask you this. 4.8 seconds left. Mm-hmm. The Knicks just got an offensive rebound and a bucket to go up one. Thunder call the timeout. Josh Giddey is inbounding the ball. I guess two questions in one.
Mm-hmm.
A, do you think the play call was for Shea in the corner on the baseline? And B, if you were the coach in that situation, is that what you have called or who would you have drawn the play up for the game-winning bucket?
I'll give you a cop-out answer because I think it was a play that had probably three different options depending on what's open.
I think there was a
Joe ball screen, top of the key, curling off for a wing three. I think there was Shea where he grabbed it in kind of the like elevated dunker spot, kind of short corner, turnaround jumper. I haven't actually watched the playback. There's probably like a backside of the basket lob play. I would bet like maybe the screener for Joe rolled back through. I don't know. I haven't seen the play again. So short answer is there's probably three options, but I would guarantee you if Mark was drawing on a clipboard, number one was Shea turnaround jumper because he's done that a lot of times, like not just like in the flow of a game, but also to win basketball games. Like that true. Shot is signature Shea game winner, to be clear.
So one thing Shea mentioned post game.
Hold on real quick, because the first was, do you think the play was for Shea? The second is that what you would have run?
Oh, God, I run a different play than the best ATO coach in the league, Jacob? Like
what I'm fishing on the for here say, is should it have been J Dub with the ball in his hands with the game on the line tonight?
I see. You should have just asked me straight up.
I knew what you were getting at.
I don't know. Like maybe there was an element of that play where if this guy goes under a screen or Isaiah Joe gets doubled, that there was probably a Dub wrinkle in that play. I still think as bad as Shea was tonight, he still went the ball in his hands. That's what happened. That's what works. There's probably an alternate reality where Deuce McBride plays better defense on Shea and gets in a passing lane that avoids that entry pass to him in the short corner. And Dub does hit the shot. Like, I think that's also an alternate reality. So no, I would not draw a different play than Mark. Do I think Dub could have hit the game winner and deserved to get the game winner? Like to answer your question, if Mark had drawn up a play for Dub, well-deserved.
I think
we got some people in the comments I haven't seen, but apparently in post game interviews today, Shea said that
that's
play
what
was
I was about to say
designed for him.
And I was interrupted.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. Well, technically didn't say it was designed for him, but he said if he went up and set a hard screen, he was going to be able to flash back to the corner and he was going to get a shot opportunity. So yes, he alluded to that. He thought he would be a number one option, but I like what Nick mentioned, because when you run a play like that, you're not running that. Mark never calls an ATO for, I shouldn't say never. In that instance, it wasn't designed for one specific player. If that Shea corner pass isn't open after the screen, like Nick said, Dub's able to flash to the ball and go ISO. Or you have Isaiah Joe coming off a pick for an open three, hopefully. And so to answer your question, Jacob, if I had to I wouldn't have called a different ATO, but if I had to prioritize who was getting the ball, it'd probably be Dub one, Isaiah Joe coming off a screen for three, number two, and then Shea number three, just based off this past week, knowing Shea's not fully healthy. That obviously wasn't the case. And that's why I am not a head basketball coach.
Yeah.
Shot was badass.
It was tough. Like that's one of those that if it misses, people outside of Oklahoma City are saying, that's the play you draw up. But people in Oklahoma City are like, yeah, that's the shot he makes all the time.
The baseline midi is, especially the turnaround midi, that is his bread and butter. Like, and teams will give that one up. I mean, I think a lot of teams, especially in the playoffs, are going to be content with a contested Shea midi turnaround on the baseline. That thing's money, dude.
I think that spinning, catching and spinning on that shoulder is his preferred, if I'm thinking correctly. Like if it was A2 on the other side, I don't think that shot would have, well, because then he's catching and turning and right foot is going into it. I don't know. I think actually now that I'm talking out loud, that shot is tougher in that short corner because you're turning over your opposite shoulder and fading versus catching on the dominant side, right foot pull up. That's a hard shot. That's a really hard shot.
It was tough though.
Yeah.
T-U-F-F, was
tough.
Love it. Let's take our first break of the night. On the other side, we are going to hit some hot takes. So chat, if you have some hot takes, start getting them in the stream here now. Make sure to tag it with hot take. That way we can star it and bring it up. Actually, before we do that though, Nick, I think we got another supers comment. We got to read that before we move on.
We do. Let me pull it up here. Hearing Nick's commentary bring up the Giddey allegations felt icky. I felt the same way, Kieran. Thanks for the comment. I actually put that in the Slack. I always listen to the opposing team's broadcast when I watch games. And it was a weird deal because it was like, the timing was on a Thunder run when you could tell the broadcast crew was like pulling for straws, something to like make it a Knicks comment or an anti-Thunder comment. And like Josh had just scored like 6-7 straight points and they're like brought up the allegations off the court and then finished it with, but they never found anything from it. There was no actual evidence that he did anything. And then just like dropped it. I was like, why bring it up? So it did feel icky. I respect the Knicks broadcast crew. It's a great broadcast crew, although they're very homerish. Felt really wrong to bring that up in this game, especially when you close it off with, but they never found anything. Why bring it up then?
Interesting. I was listening to the Thunder broadcast.
Thunder broadcast had, why am I going blank on the radio guy?
Pinto, Matt Pinto.
Matt Pinto. I forget sometimes how petty Matt Pinto is. I kind of love it. He just takes little jabs throughout the entire game. It's just kind of incredible.
Did he have any cha-chings?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the catchphrase. Yeah, all right. We'll be right back on the other side. We are hitting our hot takes of the week. Stick around.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominant Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And we are back to do hot takes of the week. Before we do, though, we got to tell you about the East Hollywood pop-up sensation turned fast casual superstar Dave's Hot Chicken is now serving Oklahoma in Bricktown, Edmond, and soon to be in Chisholm Creek. I was actually up in Chisholm Creek this week. That restaurant is coming along very quickly, so it should be there very soon. Their mouthwatering sliders and tenders are offered at 7 spice levels, ranging from no spice to Reaper. And each piece of hand-breaded chicken is spiced to order using a blend crafted specifically for its heat level or no spice at all, along with sides of house-made kale slaw, creamy mac and cheese, and crispy seasoned fries. And make sure to try the new Dave's Not Chicken, cauliflower slices that taste like Dave's Hot Chicken, but they're not. Visit Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown right next to Fuzzy's Taco Shop before or after the next Thunder home game. Or do it this Friday night, April 5th, when we host our watch party as the Thunder take on the Indiana Pacers in Indiana. Make sure to come out to Dave's Hot Chicken. Gentlemen, hot take of the week. Who wants to go first?
It looks like he's got one.
I've got a few that I'm thinking about.
Well, you think
I'll go first if you want. Jacob's got it
up as well.
Good here, grief. Go ahead then.
I will fire it up. I feel pretty strongly about this one this week. I kind of have a style of my hot takes. This is kind of breaking the mold a little bit. My hot take of the week. The 2023-2024 Thunder is the most fun Thunder team in the history of Oklahoma City NBA basketball.
You put that in our Slack this weekend, and I liked it. We're kind of prisoners of the moment right now.
I'm never a prisoner. This is America. I'm free.
I might give that like a maybe a medium.
Can I give you some teams or moments on teams that maybe feel different or feel like competitive?
Yeah.
There was many moments in Russell Westbrook's MVP campaign that felt like, although the team was not very good, there were some moments that were just like, we are witnessing some insane stuff. And
50-point triple doubles?
Like,
yeah,
dude, insane. There was moments during Paul George's, like, he was third runner-up for MVP that one year, and the, like, double crossover step back over KD. Like, there were some moments that year, although it ended in a Dame waving
goodbye.
You
remember the floater over Rudy Gobert the game after the All-Star break?
Yes. Like, there were some moments that season where I think you could probably say it rivaled. And then, I mean, the one reason I can't jump on your wagon here and agree is because we haven't seen anything in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, stuff gets 10 times more fun. And especially, although it ended up being heartbreaking for Thunder fans, the Golden State 73 win season going up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals, like, you can't tell me that run in the moment, although it sucked when it ended, I'm sure, you can't tell me that wasn't just insane.
That run was insane. That season sucked, though.
But we're not talking about like most fun game one to game, you know, Z. You're talking most fun Thunder teams. You're telling me in the playoffs of 2016, going on that run, you weren't sitting there saying this team is sick.
Oh, when we got to the end of the regular season, I thought they were a first round out, and then I thought they went up 3-1 against the Warriors, and I legitimately thought they were going to win a title that year.
Yeah.
This swing, I think, just from, I don't know, from 1 to 82, the vibe of the team, like everything about this team, I think they might be my favorite, like the most fun Thunder team there's been. So you said you've disagreed, Nick. So where do you put it on the scale?
I mean, I don't fully disagree. I'm just saying I think there's other moments, and there is like the
and this one's kind of TBD based on
totally
postseason.
Agreed. If they lose in four games in round one, I think you're gonna look back and be like, it was kind of fun, you know. I'll give it a medium to hot.
That's fair.
Okay.
I took it a completely different way though, and I think the way you're thinking about it, Jacob, is just the vibe of this team and the teammates and the barking after post games and how everyone's so close. The only reason I put it as a medium and maybe not a mild, just because I think about that 2012 NBA Finals team, right? You had the Browingtons doing their raps or whatever on YouTube, and like this super young Thunder team makes it all the way to the finals. This team has very similar vibes. So maybe if they're able to make a similar push here in the next season or two, I'll put them up there with that team. But just as a whole, from like bottom to top of the roster, a lot of great characters and great people on this team.
I think what makes it maybe more a hot than a medium for me, Jacob, is I don't want to like call it a fan base or a team. There's a lot of franchises out there that one good fun season is like the one good fun season over the last 10, 15 years. Oklahoma City, like you guys saw the Thunder PR tweet. It was like the 12th playoff appearance in the last 15 years. There's been a lot of fun teams.
Yes.
And that's the reason I think this might be more hot than medium, is because this is just one of those unique franchises where there's been so many, not just fun, but like really damn good teams with a lot of
successful, yeah,
Hall of Fame level.
We're a little spoiled, you say.
Totally.
Very much so.
Matt Noonan brings it up in the chat. Look at the Timberwolves. This is the best Timberwolves season. Like literally maybe in Nick's lifetime.
Their second best was Jimmy Butler getting them like that. Like they won the last game of the regular season to make the playoffs, then got bounced.
Yeah,
and that's probably their second best season.
This is their best season.
Yeah,
since Kevin Garnett was playing for the franchise.
Yeah,
crazy.
Like that's insane. The Kings. So you think about the Kings. Like we are incredibly spoiled.
Yeah,
to have this level of success and this level of fun. That's what makes this one difficult. Is you have so many other seasons to choose from for the funnest season. This, I don't know. It's just been a vibe the whole year. It's so much fun.
I did see somebody in the comment mention like this. He disagreed with this take simply because it seems like Thunder fans, especially on Twitter, are so upset after losses. And I think that kind of goes back to what you all were saying about us being a little spoiled as a fan base. Like imagine having this team after missing like five straight seasons of the playoffs compared to missing three. Like the vibes are probably very different. We're a little spoiled. I think that kind of goes into the comment that was I saw earlier in the chat.
I enjoy being spoiled, folks.
That's right.
Continue spoiling. Continue
to spoil us, Sam.
You guys ever, I don't want to get us on our side. You ever think about what happens when Sam Presti retires? It's like, that's like one of those things like death where it makes me anxious. So I just try not to think about it. I just put my head in the sand.
I'll give you a counter argument to maybe pull your head out of the sand a bit. It would be like in the moment, seemingly not detrimental, but like a big deal. Sam seems like the guy that if and when, not if, he will retire someday or move teams, when he's no longer in the position he is with Oklahoma City Thunder, it might feel catastrophic, but there will be a story that comes out or a letter that he writes to the fan base or something, and we're going to realize that like whoever took his spot is going to be some in-house guy that's been his shadow for the last 5 years and has learned the ins and outs and is going to be the next great GM. Like
and then they turn out to be Troy Weaver.
Sam, geez,
fair.
Sam is very much the kind of guy that I think if he is positioning an exit, he will be like training the next guy up. Like he's that kind of guy. He's what is my legacy? When am I going to leave? And I think he's going to leave a phenomenal future GM.
Nailed it.
All right. Who's got another hot take?
I'll give one. Jalen Williams, career high. Who knows it? It was mentioned tonight. It's against the team that they played tonight.
His career high is against the Knicks. Is it 36?
It's 36. I think
earlier this season in OKC, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. In late December. I am going to say that not only is he going to
eclipse that career high. He will have his first 40 burger.
Yes.
Between now and the end of the regular season. I mean, shit, like tonight he got 33 on what, 18 shots? Imagine the night the dude takes 25. Like, that seems pretty damn easy. Do the math.
And if we're hoping,
I thought he was going to get Shea the 40 tonight, Nick, honestly.
Yeah.
If we're hoping Shea continues to progress and get healthier, that's going to be harder and harder to do. I'll give you hot, but
I'm going mildly. I think he gets it. He's on a heater, dude. He did it tonight. He had, what was his line tonight? Like 33? Did he have a 33 tonight? He was 1 of 4 from three. Imagine one night where he's cooking from three and takes like 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Man, I forget when it was. Maybe it was in the third quarter. He had a play where he got Brunson on him on a switch, went right, one dribble inside the three-point line, and rose up. And the form on the jumper and the backspin on the ball off the wrist flick, I was just like, holy shit, that's the prettiest jumper I've ever seen in my life. Like, you need to slap an NSFW sticker on that thing and put it on the dark web. That was disgusting. And when he gets in the groove like that, it's insane. It's insane. He's the dude. I'm sure people kind of just think I'm an asshole for this or like annoying, but anytime he takes one dribble left, I always just say, oh, pull up money. Before he even shoots it, because you know what's going in. If he gets to the left side of the lane, it's over.
Absolutely. When he goes left, yep.
I like that one, Nick. Taylor, what's your hot take of the week?
My hot take last week was that I thought the Thunder should sit Shea because he didn't seem healthy, and sure enough, he was not, and that happened. I think this week, and I've seen all the discourse about they should continue to sit Shea through this road trip, etc. I think we see two straight 30-point games from Shea to end this week. The last two games of this week, he comes back into form, and we get 30-plus in two straight games. Kind of a mild take, but given the circumstances, maybe a little spicy.
Back-to-back 30-point games before the end of the week?
Correct.
Oh, buddy.
He had 17 tonight.
They play a back-to-back this week, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Celtics and Sixers.
He ain't playing two nights in a back-to-back. I'll tell you that now. So you're saying the next two games he's scoring 30.
Consecutively. All right,
well, I'm going to call that hot.
Boom.
Which is weird to say because Shea is
I'll go
like
medium because it's Shea.
Yeah. Fair. But I mean, I think it's pretty clear after watching him tonight. Like, he played. He's able to play through the pain, but he's still not, most guys are not, to be clear, at 100% at this point in the season, but he's not even, I don't think he's even 80 or 90, to be honest.
That's kind of where my hot take stem from.
Yeah. Also go medium just because it's Shea. I think he can get, he's shown us enough times he can just get 30 that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to roll with it. Nick, we have a ton of hot takes in the chat. Do you mind reading some of them for us?
Yeah, I'm going to run out of breath. There's a lot of them.
A lot. You don't got to read them all. Choose like 5 or 6 of your favorites.
All right. I'll start with a really hot one, in my opinion. There's a couple that are kind of similar to this, so I'll let you guys marinate on this. Hot take of the week from Ben Alpers. The Thunder will finish 60-22, which, according to my math, means they will not lose again this season.
This one is extra hot.
Correct.
It's not, quite
You're not Reaper. Going Reaper?
I could go Reaper. I go Reaper on ones that have like 0% chance of happening, and you're literally just talking out of your ass. This one's like 95% out of the ass and then a little whisper out of the mouth. So for that, he gets an extra hot.
I'll tell you why it's Reaper for me. If the Thunder won their next... they have 8 games left.
Games now.
Games. If they won their next 7, I think they'd be in the driver's seat for number one. Their last two games are against the Bucks, who probably don't care. I think the Bucks will have 2 solidified by then. The Cavs will be sneaking up on them. The Mavs are the last game of the season. I think the Mavs will have something to play for. So I'll have to say, if they go 6-0 or 7-0 in the last two games, or Bucks, Mavs, and you're sitting everybody, they ain't winning that game when one or two of those teams are going to have something to play for. So I'm going to go Reaper, because not only do they have to like win out on the games that matter, but then also they're going to play the C team against teams that I've sent to play for.
Look at Nick using logic while I'm over here just rolling on vibes.
Going alone. Off vibes. There's also like the mild. Tough back-to-back. Two national TV games this week, yeah. Back-to-back.
Yep, yep. Here's one that's kind of similar, but more immediate. George Goodwin says, hot take of the week. 5-0 on the East Coast road trip. I know full well Indy is not on the coast, but consider the entire trip East Coast. An East trip, if you will. George thinks 5-0.
I'm going to also give that an extra hot for the reason I just mentioned. National TV back-to-back games this week against the Sixers, which they can win, especially since they aren't fully healthy. But then the Celtics, arguably the best team in the league. I think that's extra hot.
You're saying it's a back-to-back, but only the Boston game is national TV. Is that correct?
I thought the Sixers game was as well.
Are they on national TV?
ESPN and then TNT or vice versa. I'm almost positive.
Pull it up for you here. Per ESPN, they have... ESPN has none of their remaining games with the TV indication, so that their site must be busted.
Micah says Sixers is on TNT.
Okay. Okay.
I thought.
And then Boston is on ESPN the next night. Wow.
Told you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's going to be tough. That's
TNT Tuesday, ESPN Wednesday. There we go. The Thunder's full site. Why was I going to ESPN when the Thunder have a site of their own? I think that's still pretty hot.
I think we'll get to it in our predictions, but
yeah. Playing
Sega Baba in Boston is pretty tough.
If they go 5-0 and then they've only have three games left, like that's just a hair below the finishing the season undefeated take.
If they go 5-0 on the road trip, like, yeah, I don't give a shit what happens the rest of the four, like rest guys, whatever, but I'm going extra hard.
Yep.
Totally. Totally. Sean says Andrew Luck is in a top 20 QB of his lifetime. Sean, I don't know how old you are, but in my lifetime, he certainly is. And we can debate if you'd like to debate offline. This one, it continues to come up from three-legged chair. And it's actually interesting. And I love the reference and the username here. It's crazy, but it's not crazy, this take. Like, for the Thunder to make the finals is, like, extra hot. That's hard to do. But if you were to say, hey, Oklahoma City's in the finals. Game one's tomorrow. Let's pull up MVP odds. Like, Josh is third or fourth on the Thunder, probably.
Uh-huh.
That's not that hot. Like, so I guess, do you take this hot take as, like, you have to consider the Thunder have to get there, and then he has...
Let's act like the Thunder are, like you said, about to start game one in the finals.
Yeah.
Josh Giddey finals MVP, I would put hot.
So, for context, and Taylor, I'll let you give like the final answer. If the finals ended up being a five-game series, and the Thunder, what, they've won four of the last five, yeah? Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the last five games was a series. I think Josh Giddey is Thunder MVP the last five games.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, that's such a vacuum thing to say, but like, it's not out of the question that this could be a hot take, but like, I think it's hot or extra hot for sure. If they're here,
I'm going Reaper, and not for the reason everybody probably thinks, because I'm apparently the Josh Giddey hater.
You issued the apology, the completely sincere apology.
And I think there's a conversation to be made. If Josh is playing like he has over the past week, even the month of March, and the Thunder win the finals, that there's a discourse within the fan base that he was the most impactful player for the Thunder. I think that's completely fair. But I've watched a lot of finals, watched a lot of Super Bowls. My Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes always gets the finals MVP.
Moving on.
Even if he doesn't really need it, right? Or it doesn't deserve it all the time. I just, it always goes to one of the bigger players. And also, honestly, if Josh Giddey is the best player hands down for the Thunder in a finals matchup, I don't think the Thunder are winning the finals. It's going to have to be a balanced effort like we saw tonight.
I think that's fair.
Even if they've gone... had a really good record the last five games and he's been the best player.
And I think that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, there could be a healthy discourse amongst the fan base, but it's probably going to go to Shea for his resume, or potentially Dub if he's scoring 36.
You remember when the LeBron lost in the finals and people still voted him for finals MVP?
Yeah. And to be clear, he kind of deserved it. He carried that team.
Insane.
Next one is from Giorgio423. Kind of similar. Said, been sitting on this for a while. Josh Giddey will have at least two playoff games. We can point to him and say we don't want without him. That
light, mild.
Yeah. Maybe
this,
no
this
sauce.
This is a game, or this is a hot take that I think, I don't know, guys. 6 weeks ago, he might have said, wouldn't be surprised if Josh didn't even play two games in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it's like, yeah, you might be onto something. Do you 100%. Think light, mild?
Light, mild.
Oof. Let me hide this so I can see the scale again.
He's at two games.
I gotta go
right?
Mild for sure.
That's fair.
I'm probably more light mild.
And this, to be clear, this isn't saying that Josh Giddey is like the best player or wins the game for them, but you could very clearly say they could not win without him.
For sure.
Just like tonight.
Jacob, how many more do we go through? Give me
let's do two more.
Two more. Okay.
We also got some supers we gotta read.
Yep.
Let's go with the super.
Why people are just randomly giving us money on the internet is
love it.
Stupid.
Alan says, this team makes me happy, even though I lost a bet and on my friend Wingstop, but it's well worth it. J-Dub's freaking stud and Giddey is killing it. Alan, kudos to you for paying for your friend's Wingstop and then paying us to talk Thunder basketball.
That's right.
It's money.
Alan, if you'd like to DM me a Wingstop gift card, I would very much appreciate it. No, but totally agree. J-Dub is ridiculous. Josh Giddey is ridiculous. And, I would love nothing more than in July, when we're starting to talk about the upcoming season, the 2024-25 season, for the conversation to stop being the trio of Dub, Chet, Shea, and more like the quad of Dub, Chet, Shea, Dub, Chet, Shea, Josh.
And Giddey.
Yeah.
Because, or even the team as a whole, right? Like Kaysen stepping up like he has.
Speaking of that, Nick, I think there. Let's do our last hot take. I think there was one about Josh getting an extension this summer. Is that right?
Let's find that one here.
Or like working his way into being a big four instead of a big three, something like that.
There's literally 460 something comments, so I can't find that one. But
okay, we'll just pick one more.
Okay, now I want to talk about that one though, real quick, while I'm looking. Okay. The Josh extension conversation. I would say it's very likely that Josh gets extended. I don't think it's going to be a number that's like super high. But I do think that Josh Giddey will get extended. He's assuming he keeps playing at even a halfway reasonable level where he's like a fourth or fifth option. He's worth keeping around. We have two more supers here. David,
let's just hit those.
I can't answer this question because it's asking if you agree with me. Do you agree with Nick that Shea has no chance in MVP at this point?
Yes.
I do too.
He's not going to win.
With the injury.
Okay. The injury.
It's a very low. No chances, maybe a little bold, but it's a very low chance.
Yeah. He would have to like, it would have to be one of those like storybook scenarios where like that goes down to the wire of who gets the one seed and Shea has like 40, 50 point games.
They'd have to go like 7-0
more game winners
the next seven. And like he'd have to average like 37, 12, and 12 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Last one here from Nick Jordan. Great name, Nick. Where do you think Shea ranks amongst the Thunder greats?
Oh, man.
Currently, right now, three. It's not close. It's three and then it's
KD.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue.
I will say,
how high can Shea get? That's maybe a more fun question.
He could be two by this summer if they win a title. That's a huge, massive.
Does he have to win a title to get to two this summer?
To pass Kevin, I think so.
I'm almost more excited to talk about the J-Dub conversation.
What about if,
but that's
if
a pod for a different time.
He finishes out this current contract, Nick, signs another one in OKC or signs an extension on the current contract, and the trajectory of the team is like what we think it will be, but let's not say they win or don't win a title. Let's leave the title away from it for now. But let's say he continues to be the player we think he is for the next 5 to 6 years to his age 30 season.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he at?
I think he's got a real case for two at that point, because doing it through 30 is a long time.
I mean, if you win a championship, there's an argument. He's up there with
Russ. Yeah. I mean,
if he wins a championship, I think he's won.
I think if Shea wins a championship on this, and frankly, any contract, he's the guy.
Hey, we're going long. I want to quickly read this off, though, and lob it to Nick, because this is something I haven't really talked a lot about on the podcast. I love Nick's player comp for Dub that hasn't really been mentioned. Noah said, hot take, Jalen Williams' true future comparison is Paul George, multiple all-star, all-defense award winner. I like that one. I've heard Jimmy Butler. I think Sam Vecenie is kind of driving that train there. But Nick, you had a player comp for Dub that I haven't heard a lot about, and I actually really, really like it as the season progresses. Do you want to throw that name out there?
You throw it out first, and I'll give my reasoning.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. So not from a personality standpoint, obviously, like polar opposites. Like Kawhi is very much reserved, no emotion. Dub is very much tap into the crowd, scream, yell. I don't know. There's something about, there's a lot of superstars in the league today and historically that scored a lot of points and put up a lot of numbers on inefficient shooting and inflated numbers because they were just like going out there and like being the guy. There's very few players that can be ultra efficient, do it when it matters most, and play on both sides of the ball. Not just like be a decent defender, but like all NBA defender caliber type guy at some point in their career. And that's Dub. Like the strength, the like build, the mid-range game, the like everything about those two. Like, I'm not saying he's the next Kawhi, because Kawhi has won championships on two different teams, which is like almost unheard of. Winning on a third team with the Clippers would be like actually unheard of. But a lot of the traits that Dub has are very similar to Kawhi from an on-court perspective. Nothing the same personality or off the court, but it's to me, it's too similar to not at least mention.
I love it. Love it. Let's take a break. On the other side, we will hit our predictions for the week before we get out of here. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And we are back. No Justin on the show tonight, so we did not have a graphic if you're tuning into the YouTube stream of the updated standings, but I have the updated standings in front of me, and I will read them for you now. In first place, with a putrid week by my own standards, I came into this week with 49 points, and I am leaving the week, folks, with 49 points. I went 2-2, missed my money ball with that stupid Rockets game. In second place, closing the gap would be one Nicholas Crane. Nick went 3-1 and hit his money ball with that Pelicans win. Nick is at 46. Nick, you're 3 points behind me with 2 weeks to go. It's going to be a photo finish. Right behind Nick is JD, who also had a 3-1 week and is at 45 points. Then Taylor, who went 3-1, has 42.
Lastly,
Justin went 2-2, but missed his money ball. Justin has 40 points. We got four more games on tap this week, gentlemen. Nick, we're going to start with you with the first of the nationally televised games. Tuesday night, they go to the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid, I do not think, is going to play. I don't think he's ready yet. Did Philly play today, Sunday? Whichever game, today or tomorrow, Tyrese Maxey is questionable.
They did, and they beat the Raptors 135-120.
Did Tyrese Maxey play?
I do not believe so. I will check that quickly.
He did not. So Tyrese might be a game time decision. Nick, what are you going with the game in the city of brotherly love?
I went with a loss. This is probably the hardest one of the week for me. For the reason you just described, like no Embiid, likely Maxey's up in the air. Like it seems like a game Oklahoma City should win. I don't know if Shea plays. I alluded to this 20 minutes ago or so on the show that I don't think Shea plays the final two back-to-backs this season, at least like both games of the back-to-back, because the Thunder has two more back-to-backs this season. I would imagine the team would rather rest him the front night of this one against Philly and then play him against the Celtics the second night versus the inverse, which I think most people would expect for a lot of back-to-backs. So I think no Shea against the Sixers. I think it's a game they should still win without Shea, to be clear, even if Maxey does play. But they're not a bad team. Like, they're eighth in the East. They've really struggled with that Embiid, but they're not bad at home. Like 21-16 at home. That's a team that just feels like on the road is a tough out. So I took a loss. Taylor? Also, to be different, because I think Jacob's taking a win. I have to make some ground.
That's fair. I also had, or not also, I, assuming Jacob has a win, I also have a win against the Sixers. You kind of mentioned it's a game the Thunder should win, even without Shea. Honestly, I think I'm very confident the way that Josh and Dub are playing together when Shea's not playing or when he's not playing well. So I have a win against the Sixers on the first night of the back-to-back.
I also took a win against the Sixers, so Nick and I are different there. JD took a win, and Justin took a win against the Sixers. The following night, they play on a Sega Baba at the Boston Celtics. I'm going to save everybody some time here because that is L's across the board, folks.
Boom.
We all took losses. It's going to be a tough game.
Which means they'll win.
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably correct.
Or if they were named the Atlanta Hawks, they would win. Mm-hmm. Because apparently Boston cannot beat the Atlanta Hawks. At the Pacers Friday night during the uncontested watch party at Dave's Hot Chicken. Taylor, what do you got Friday?
W. If they lose against the Celtics, this team always seems to respond well off of losses. I'm taking the W against the Pacers for the watch party.
I love it. I also went a dub at the watch party because you got to go a dub at the watch party. Nick, what do you got?
Yeah, there's no way to lose for the watch party. I think that Indiana is a pretty simple team to dissect. If you can defend in any capacity or score in any capacity, because Indiana can score a lot but cannot defend at all, you kind of dictate the result of the game. So either D up a bit or outscore them. And that seems super simple, but it is what it is with Indiana. Like it's that easy.
JD and Justin both also took a W on this one. The last one, next Sunday night before the pod, the Thunder play a revenge game with the Hornets. I call it a revenge game because Poku, Trey Mann, Vasili Micic, and Davis Bertans will be out for blood, folks. The Poku-Chet matchup is what I have dreams and or nightmares about. I'll make this one real quick for everybody as well. JD can insert a massive bell ding here because this is moneyballed across the board, folks.
Bang. We all played it.
It doesn't actually matter,
this
does it?
This one worries me a little bit.
It doesn't matter. It's literally a zero for everybody.
True. Yes. So the only place where Nick can gain ground on me this week is Tuesday night. So that'll be a big one. One to keep an eye on, Nick. It'll be fun. Before we get out of here, and at a later podcast, we'll definitely dive into this a little bit deeper. But want to get everybody's, when I say everybody, you two, quick opinions on end of season awards. So I'm going to list an award. We're just going to kind of rapid fire this one. Yeah. You tell me who wins the award. Let's start at the top. MVP.
Jalen Brunson. I'm kidding. It's got to be Jokic.
Yeah. Jokic for sure. I think Luka's making a little run, but
true. He was awesome tonight against the Rockets. Crazy. Yeah, he was.
I will also go Jokic. Defensive player of the year.
As much as I hate Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, he's like minus 1200 in Vegas. It's like probably not close, but Victor, let's have some parity. Let a rookie win the award.
He's been good. I'm going Rudy as well, though. He's the anchor of the number one defense in the league. He's going to get out.
Yeah.
Sixth man of year.
Mine's another boring one. Malik Monk. It's just been insane here since post-All-Star break. He's hurt now, though, so that puts a little bit of a wrinkle into things.
Give me... I can only say his name the way that the Thunder announcer does because he kills the Thunder every time he comes here. Nas Reed. That would be always says his name in the most bland way. Nas Reed.
Nas is awesome. I mean, I'm probably going Malik as well. Yeah. Coach of the year.
It's a runaway.
It is a runaway. Give it the Daigs, baby.
It's really a runaway, actually. It really is.
What are the odds on it?
I think Mark's like minus 600, which is significant.
Good for him, man. He deserves it. He's been awesome.
Yeah.
The LeBron hype certainly helps.
Do we really need
to
talk rookie of the year?
No. Wemby's been absolutely absurd.
It's definitely Wemby. Here's a fun one. I don't think it's position bound anymore. I don't know. Nick, correct me if I'm wrong.
Which one are you
first team all rookie.
Oh no.
I don't think it's position. I think it's just five.
I think Zach Lowe mentioned that.
I think it's just five.
So Michet, obviously.
Brandon Miller
is another probably obvious one. Hame. Yep. That's the other one I was going to mention.
Hame Hawkes.
Yeah. I actually had an argument about this with somebody the other day. They think that Amin Thompson is five and it's a lock. Like that group of five is already locked. So. I don't think it's a lock as a case. I think that Keontae George has a case.
Keontae and I would also throw out Amin and
Keontae. That's your two.
Brandon Jensen. No, there's only one spot left.
I know, but those are the two guys fighting for it. Was Amin and Keontae?
I said Amin, Keontae, Derek Lively.
Lively's a great one also. I forgot about Lively. That might be it. But I want to throw out Pajemski out there as well, just as an honorable mention.
Yeah. Does Queso make second team?
Yes.
Let me pull up. I'm just going to, like, not that Vegas knows everything, but they're generally pretty right. Onto something. So this is not a direct indicator, but NBA Rookie of the Year odds. I'm just going to give you the guys. Wemby's one, Chet's two. Other names that are in the conversation that we have not talked about already. Asar Thompson. Koulibaly, who his season was cut short. Marcus Sasser, Jordan Hawkins, Cam Whitmore, who has been hurt recently but was awesome when he wasn't. Jairus Walker. Like there's a lot of guys that I think deserve second team. Kaysen, like watching him every night, I think 100%. And if I knew that every voter watched every game for every team all year, I think Kaysen would be second team. But if you don't watch every game,
I think the longevity has to count for something, right?
Yeah, but if you look at 6 points and 2 rebounds, like it's not the sexiest stat line. And I don't trust voters watching the Thunder every night.
That's totally.
Has Jairus played enough though to get that nod over a player like Kaysen? Like I don't.
If you're a voter and you've watched more Jairus than Kaysen, maybe that's always the thing.
I think the gap is too big between Chet and Wemby for this to be an argument, but I think for Kaysen on second team all rookie, it's definitely an argument. Asar played a lot of minutes for an absolute shit tier team. Kaysen's playing a lot of minutes and earning minutes on a team that has massive postseason aspirations. A team that could end number one in the West.
Six man, like played six most minutes.
Yes.
Legitimately.
Like that has to mean something.
It does. You would think.
To Nick's point, it's all depends on the voters. And who really trusts an electorate? Really? I mean. All right, let's get out of here. This was a wonderful show. Hey, speaking of a wonderful show, the Thunder, currently number one in the West. They're a half game up on the Nuggets, full game up on the Minnesota Timberwolves, who lost to the Chicago Bulls tonight. Control their own destiny, baby. They could make it. We've got a full week planned for you guys. No pod Tuesday after the Philadelphia game, but we will be here Wednesday after the Boston game. The live show watch party Friday night. And then back here Sunday, as always, as we are gearing up. It is in an hour and 45 minutes. It is playoff month, baby. We have made it.
Damn.
The end of the regular season is almost here, and we will have so much content for you. So many cool things planned for the postseason.
A lot of exciting news coming up.
Yes. Hang out with us. Enjoy it. We will see you guys Wednesday night. Thank you for tuning in. And we will see you, like I said, Wednesday night. Until then, and as always, Thunder up.